This week on Zen Founder, we continue our series on goal setting for founders. And in this episode, Sherry interviews Adrian Rosebrock. He's the founder of PyImageSearch.com, which is a blog dedicated to teaching computer vision and image processing. The reason I wanted to have Adrian on the show is that he's still relatively new in his journey. He's been doing this for about a year, year and a half on his own after he got out of grad school. And he decided to skip the whole full-time gig thing or contracting and all that and just went out on his own and built products. And he's had quite a bit of success already and has been supporting himself really well as just a single founder for the past year or so. Adrian has a PhD in computer science with a focus in computer vision and machine learning. And he's written a book on this topic as well, Practical Python and OpenCV. It's about utilizing Python and OpenCV to build real-world computer vision applications. He's been working in startup companies, both funded and self-funded, since he was 19, and that was 8 years ago. So with that, let's dive in.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
Overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So I thought I would begin with just a very broad question, which is, do you set goals regularly?
I set goals extremely regularly, both or actually all three on yearly, monthly, and a weekly basis. So your yearly goals are more what you might come up with during a retreat, which you and Rob have covered in previous podcasts. This is where you sit down and you're like, what are my goals for this year? What is it that I want to accomplish? What's really going to push my life forward and not only make me happy, but give me fulfillment, my business and my personal life. And then on a monthly level, these are also kind of more course goals. What is it going to take to get me step by step to those yearly goals? But again, they're very high level and they're still very coarse. And then every week, I kind of look at my monthly goals and my yearly goals, and I come up with tasks, just a task list that is going to align me to accomplish those goals. So again, to me, it's so important that you define goals at three levels, two at a very high level, and then one at a very granular level that you work through on a weekly basis.
Do you have a rhythm each year? Do you go on a retreat in January, or when do you decide what goals you're going to tackle for a year?
I always do the yearly goal planning in January or December, late December of the previous year. I've never gone on a retreat before, although that is something I'm going to be doing later this week. So I'm pretty excited to give that a try. But for my personal goal framework and how I operate, I've never had a need to necessarily get away for 48 hours to get that clarity. And I think that's just because I'm always have a good understanding of my goals. I always have a list at the monthly and yearly level of what I'm trying to accomplish.
So your yearly goals kind of flow out of what your previous year's goals have been.
Exactly.
Okay. And do you have a kind of monthly alarm that goes off in your calendar that says, okay, time to revisit your goals? Or do you do that on the 15th every month? How do you set that rhythm into your life?
It's always the first of every month. So on February 1st, I'll look back at January and say, you know, what goals did I complete? Which ones did I not complete? I go through Evernote. I use Evernote religiously for this type of stuff. And I have almost what I would call an accountability thread directly inside my notebook, inside Evernote. And I say, what goals did I accomplish? Which ones didn't? Why didn't I achieve them? And I list them out. I explicitly list the ones I accomplished, list the ones I didn't. I record any key metrics regarding the business, subscriber growth, revenue, those types of things. And then I also take inventory of my emotional state at the time. I really like to include many notes about how I'm feeling personally. You know, was this a good month? Do I feel happy and accomplished and fulfilled? Do I feel depressed and overwhelmed and anxious? And I find that just by keeping notes on this, I can reflect and look back and make any changes necessary to my life. In many, many situations, there aren't any changes that are required. It's just simply being aware of why you feel a certain way. And as long as I'm aware of it, then I'm a lot more at ease going forward.
So you might have a month where you accomplished a lot, but you're feeling depressed or you're feeling tired or you're feeling kind of burnt out. What do you do with that information? It sounds like it's something you're paying attention to, which I think is fantastic. But is there anything that you then carry forward to the next month?
When I go ahead and I plan the next month, I'll take inventory and be like, hey, you really weren't feeling good this past month. Why is that? What can you do to change that? And I'll write that down in my notebook and my accountability thread. And again, this isn't something I publicly share. This is just sitting on my computer for me personally to review. And I try to track it. I try to read through with the previous 3 to 4 months every month or two and just see if I can identify any trends. If things are going well, awesome, then keep leaning into that. And if things aren't going well, then take a step back and try and reassess, why aren't you hitting your goals? Or better yet, if you are hitting your goals, why aren't you feeling fulfilled by it? Why are you feeling upset and kind of disconnected?
I think we'll probably talk a little bit more about the emotional part of all of this a little bit later in our interview. But just to get a sense more practically, when you set your yearly goals, do you break it down by month? Like, in order to accomplish this goal at the end of this year, in January, I need to do these things. In February, I need to do these things. Does that happen in December, January, when you set your yearly goals, or does that happen month by month?
It normally happens month by month, but I do try to have a very, very high level plan of how the year is going to work out at a monthly level. The problem I found that if you get too granular at a monthly level, it just doesn't work out. Your life changes dramatically. Your business will change dramatically. And 6 months into, you know, this plan, you realize, hey, none of my monthly goals line up anymore. So it's important that you do have high level goals each month, but keep in mind that they're just very coarse and they will change. And it's much better to reassess them on a monthly basis when you look back over the previous month and figure out what worked and what didn't.
So there's some flexibility built in here, which sounds like is helpful and important in actually being successful.
Oh, it has to be flexible. Otherwise, you're going to lock yourself in and you're not going to be emotionally happy. You're going to be stressed out. And then even in a worse situation, you don't meet your business goals.
Do you talk with other people about your goals? Do you have a mastermind or accountability group that helps you track your success for your goals each month?
I have two mastermind groups that I belong to. We chat on a weekly basis, and I do share my goals with them. We normally try and share what our one big thing is for the upcoming week. What is this huge thing that we're going to do that's going to push our business forward? Inside the group, I also, you know, share the key business metrics, and that keeps us all accountable and making sure we're all working towards our end goals.
What kind of goals do you tend to set? Monthly revenue? Growth.
Monthly revenue is always the biggest one. There's growth from a subscriber level. There's increasing traffic. There's conversion rates. Those, what I would call pretty standard for any type of online company.
You spent the last year generating a lot of content for your membership site. And I think in previous conversations, you talked about having a word goal each week or each month where you were trying to write a certain amount.
It was actually each day. I was trying to write at least 1,000 words every day.
Sounds like all of your goals are very measurable. You hit the number or you don't hit the number.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, when I go and make my weekly goals, I make sure they align with my monthly and yearly goals. And I open up Trello and I create a checklist of the tasks I want to accomplish that week. And again, all these should align with what my overall goals for the year are. And these could be simple tasks, like you need to update the header of this webpage because it's completely out of date. Or it could be very much more complicated and could have its own Trello card. It could be, you need to write this entire lesson. It's going to be a 5,000 word lesson, but it has to get done this week. And I just create a checklist based off of it. That goes into Trello for the week. And as I work through those tasks, I check them off. And at the end of the week, I open up Evernote and I copy my tasks that I completed into Evernote. I copy and paste the tasks that I did not complete into Evernote. And I kind of give a 3 or 4 sentence explanation overall of why I did or did not meet those goals or check off those tasks. And again, I also take stock at an emotional level, just 3 or 4 sentences. How am I feeling? Why do you feel that way? What can you do to improve upon it? And for me, just having that inside my notebook is more than enough to keep me on track.
How do you work with unmet goals?
Normally, I'm very okay with unmet goals because this whole process is very rational, it's thought out, and it's very measurable. So I know if I don't hit a goal, there is a reason because of it. It could be I was way too busy that week and I had too much on my plate and it simply wasn't possible to get done. It could be I didn't have the right information that I thought I needed to complete that goal. Maybe I was waiting on a developer to implement some sort of feature and that developer didn't get done that week. So for tasks like that, I will say be negative on myself because it's or be hard on myself because there's certain things outside your control. The things that are 100% in my control, I keep myself accountable to them.
Have you always been this goal-directed, or is this a philosophy or a way of thinking about your work that you've come to over time?
I think overall, I've been very goal-oriented, even as a child. But over the past 3 or 4 years, it's certainly gotten much more intense. And this is when I sat down and kind of formalized this goal framework. About 3 years ago, my best friend died. She was a dog. Her name was Josie. And she was pretty much the closest thing in the world to me. I had her ever since I was a little kid. And I had a fairly rough childhood growing up. There were a lot of positives, but there were also a lot of negatives. There was a lot of mental illness in my family, some abuse. And through all of that, that dog was always there with me. When I got to college, she wasn't doing well. And one night, I came home and found that she was having trouble breathing. This was kind of an ongoing problem, and we knew about it. And basically, she had a heart murmur, and her heart just was so large, it was struggling to beat properly. And we always knew that was probably what was going to kill her. We took her to the vet, and it turned out that it wasn't the issue. She was actually having problems with cancer we didn't even know existed. And a tumor had grown so large that it was pressing against her trachea, and she couldn't breathe. And they put her in a hyperbaric chamber and you know, help with the oxygen and the blood flow. And while she was in there, she was okay. But as soon as you took her out, she was back to struggling immensely to breathe. She could not breathe at all. And it was really watching your best friend suffer and knowing you could not do a single thing to change it. That was probably the worst night of my life. In fact, I will say that was the worst night of my life. Unfortunately, she did not make it, and I had to make the decision later that evening or later that night. It was probably 10, 11 o'clock at night to finally put her down. And I remember after doing that, the second after she passed away, this feeling of complete acceptance. You know, when you go through death, there's 4 different stages. But for me, it was 0 to 100% immediately. There was no bargaining. There was no just going back and forth denial. It was 100% immediate acceptance. And that was an incredible weight placed on my shoulders all at once. And I remember just this feeling of wanting to scream, but the words just never coming out. And I felt like that for months and months and months afterwards. And those months were terrible for me. The first 2 weeks were in some ways enlightening because once you go through a traumatic experience like that, you realize very quickly the few things in your life that actually matter. Those very few friends, those very few family members, the things that give you joy in your life. But that mixed with the feelings of depression and sadness, that washes away very quickly. And you're kind of left with these raw emotions. And that's exactly what happened to me. So the next 6 to 8 months, due to my work and my work drive and my just willingness to succeed and taking pride in what I did, I worked 12 to 14 hours every single day, just trying to get tasks done. At this time, I was working on my PhD, and every task was aligned with finishing up my PhD. And at that time, working on the business I was involved in. And that was a great distraction. But it was exactly that. It was a distraction. My willingness to succeed was also distracting me from accepting some of the things that I had been through. Then in the evenings, unfortunately, when I was so tired to continue working, I would turn to alcohol just to get away from it all. And that was very, very destructive. I would say I was a highly functioning alcoholic for 6 to 8 months. Just drank every night just to put myself to sleep, only to wake up the next morning even more tired than I was, continue working at this incredible pace, trying to get as much done as I possibly could. And then the next night, again, repeat the exact same process. Just drink until you fell asleep on the couch. Do it again the next day. And in that time period, I definitely hurt a lot of people around me. I hurt my family. I hurt my friends. And it was just an awful, awful time. And eventually I came out of it. I started talking to people and getting some help that I definitely needed to get through it. But once I got through it all, I realized that goal setting should also be a traumatic experience. For me, Josie dying in my arms was the most terrible traumatic experience I've ever had in my life. And it impacted me in negative ways and also in extreme positive ways. You know, it gave me a certain clarity that I did not have before. And I started taking that thought. I'm like, why does traumatic experiences have to be limited to negative aspects of your life? Why does it have to be limited to a family member dying or a close friend dying or some other tragedy that happens to you? What if you took that same idea and applied it to goal setting? And that's sort of when I came up with this framework. And I thought to myself, wow, like, if I could apply goals that dramatically changed my life in a positive way, then each year I could just move myself forward that much faster, be that much more successful, and get so much more done. And yep, and that's pretty much how I came up with this framework.
So that, I mean, the tremendous loss of Josie and the months following, and kind of your determination not to, well, to not feel it, right? To work, and then drink, and then sleep, and then work, and then drink, and then sleep. Sounds like also showed you the power of this kind of determination and drivenness, even if it was kind of the thing that was driving that level of work and that level of goal ambition may have not been the healthiest. You sort of learned that maybe this could be morphed into something healthy and that goals could become a way of having significant life change and really pushing into the edges of what's possible for you.
Exactly. And at the time, that was an emotional distressing period. It was a negative emotional distressing period. But I would argue it's absolutely possible to have positive emotionally distressing periods. And that's what happened for me, I guess, last January. I was running a Kickstarter campaign. I had never ran a campaign of that magnitude before. I've never tried my marketing skills that high, and I never really put myself on that much of a public chopping block before. But I did. And I was nervous about it. And I was stressed out about it. And I was also excited. I remember when the Kickstarter hit its goal, when it was fully funded, and just seeing all of that happen, I was extremely happy. I'm like, yes, I finally got this goal. I did it. I have all this money to go and build this product. It's validated. And it was an amazing experience. But I also felt, oh man, what the hell have I just done? I have all these customers that are waiting for this product. I have this huge commitment. I have a timeline. And I was nervous about it, and I was certainly distressed, but I was also emotionally fulfilled at the same time. And that Kickstarter campaign really is what pushed the PyImage Search company forward. That was the defining moment where I was like, wow, like, this is going to work, and I can make this happen.
So it sounds like you're looking for goals that scare you.
Exactly.
That really shake you up, that really call forth, like, the deeper parts of your ability. Not things that are comfortable, not things that you know that are easy, but something that really pushes you to the edge.
For sure. And I think for programmers especially, you look at tasks on your list and you're like, I'm going to check this off when I'm done with it. And you can do the same thing for goals, but you have to be so careful because you don't want to get caught in this safe space of this endorphin rush of, yep, I checked that off. Great. That's awesome. I got this goal. But you also have to ask the question, was that goal worth setting in the first place? Did that make my life substantially better? Did that move things forward in a reasonable way? And if not, then I would argue you're staying in your safe space. And that's one of the worst things you could do. You have to put yourself out there and grow and challenge yourself.
Have you had a point in your life where the next logical goal is sort of a continuation of the year before? I guess I'm thinking about the work that you did on your PhD. I mean, that's a multi-year goal, 4 or 5 years. Depending on your program. And those yearly goals aren't necessarily going to deviate that much from that bigger goal. So maybe some years your goals are like, well, I got to sort of march through and can keep working on that dissertation and finish it. So you're not necessarily having this big life shift every year. You're working toward a goal on a bigger timeline. Was that your experience, or did you?
Well, for me, I always broke it down into smaller components. In a PhD program, you obviously have to take the required courses. And then from there, you need to formulate your thesis and you need to present it. And then your committee needs to say, yep, you did good. That warrants future research. Now go and do your research. You do your research, then you write it up, then you present it again. And then hopefully everything goes well and you get to graduate. But as you suggested, that's a multi-year process. But there's no reason why it can't fit into this yearly framework. During the first year, you complete all your classes and do well in them. Same for the second year. Then you can look at your yearly goals and say, hey, I'm still working towards this PhD, but now my full attention needs to be doing some initial research and formulating what my actual area is going to be and writing your proposal. You go and you defend that. And that's all of this can be done, I would argue, in a year. I argue that because I did it. I completed my entire PhD program in 3.5 years using this framework of, yep, there's one goal ahead that I want to complete, my main goal. And I know after that I can move forward to whatever else life brings me. But by breaking it down into smaller components, even if they did span multiple years, you can still do that. It's still check marks that you have to hit.
I think what's unique about your approach to goal setting, I mean, obviously you have shaped your philosophy of goals based on this this traumatic experience and this really difficult time in your life when you were like not functioning that well. I guess you were sort of functioning, but not well on the inside.
I was simply existing, going through the day.
But one of the things that you've carried over is to continue to goal set in intense ways, but you also pay a lot of attention to how you feel. And I think that's maybe somewhat unique in the founder community. I think it's a great thing. But I don't know, can you talk a little bit more about that and the way that you're monitoring those personal metrics of your own emotions and how that matters, why that matters?
I think it matters so much because you can achieve this incredible business goal, whether that's finally quitting your job and working on your own company, whether you're breaking 5 figures in monthly recurring revenue or 6 figures in monthly recurring revenue. It really just depends on your own personal journey and where your company is. But if you're not happy, I mean, if you're not satisfied with that, with where you are, I'm not sure those business goals really matter a whole lot. Yes, if you have employees, you can pay them and they can take care of their families. But again, entrepreneurs do what they do because they're inherently selfish in the most positive way possible. They want to create, they want to build, and that gives them an incredible sense of pride. And that's exactly how I am. And yeah, I can go out, I can build and I can create. But at the end of the day, if I'm not satisfied, if I'm not happy, if I'm not looking back on all of this with a smile on my face, being like, yeah, I accomplished those goals. There were some hard times, there were some good times, but it was all worth it. Then that's something that needs to be addressed. And that's why every month I look back at and my weekly entries in my journal and be like, hey, how are you doing this month? What can you do in the future to improve it? And then the weekly goals start to take shape around my reflections.
Would you call that maybe like a meta goal? Your personal satisfaction or your happiness is actually the foundation from which your goals flow. And that's a metric that you're tracking as much as you're tracking those individual business goals.
Exactly. I think it's a very good way to put it.
Other personal or relational goals that you set, or is your focus primarily on business related tasks?
It's probably a good 80% business. And then I do kind of intertwine personal goals as I see fit, fitness goals, eating goals, pretty much the standard type of stuff you would see a normal person set.
In a lot of our conversations, or it's something that I'm thinking about a lot, is this, I think this thing that you've hit on where you have, I'm stealing your idea and giving it a word, like meta goals, like, because you're not just tracking how you're behaving, you're tracking how it's working in your life. Some people might call those intentions, you can use other words, but they reflect this non-behaviorally driven outcome, not necessarily measurable, but observable way of assessing how life is going by checking how you're feeling and how well you are emotionally, spiritually, physically, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good way to put it.
And it seems like a nice balance to have the both.
I think you can have one without the other, but there will be a part of your life that will be suffering in some way. If you're an entrepreneur and all you care about is your own personal well-being, then you're going to miss out on a lot of business goals. But at the same time, if all you focus on is business goals, your personal life will suffer. And for a lot of us, we're not in it to build these large companies that sell for hundreds of millions or billions of dollars. It's more of the lifestyle entrepreneur. You know, we want to live a good life. Maybe we want to have more money than the average person, but we want to be able to enjoy that money. We want to be able to travel and spend time with our families and our friends and enjoy that life that we can afford.
Yeah, freedom. Freedom is what you're describing, right?
Yeah, freedom, owning your own time, not having to show up on anybody's schedule, but owning it completely your own.
And all of the other goals kind of fall under those meta goals to have a satisfying life where you're calling the shots, you're controlling your time, you're doing things that are interesting, and you're kind of choosing the life that you want.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Adrian, for taking the time to chat with me.
Oh, thank you. It's a privilege to be here.
I really appreciate your willingness to share part of your own personal story and experiences and the ways that that has shaped how you think about goals and goal setting. And if people want to learn more about you and what you're doing, what your work is, how can they get a hold of you?
You can go to my website, pyimagesearch.com. That's also my Twitter handle, @pyimagesearch, or you can email me directly at adrian@pieimagesearch.com.
Fantastic. Thanks so much. And oh, I forgot to ask you, what are your goals for 2016?
Oh, my goals for 2016 is literally across the board, 3x business, from subscribers to revenue to traffic, everything.
Okay, well, best of luck in 3xing across the board, and maybe we'll check in with you next year to see how that went.
That'd be wonderful.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.